church. I think it's important for each and every one of us, at some point in time through your Christian life, I'm sure you'll be presented with the opportunity. If you're doing the work that the Lord's called you to do, He'll give you an opportunity at some point in time to sit down somewhere, sometime, in church, out of church. You never know. It might be in a restaurant. You don't know. But you should always be prepared to give an answer when someone has a question about salvation. If we as Christians don't know how to lead people to the Lord, how effective are we really going to be? So if you'll take these cheat sheets, I cut them up real small. They fit real nice if you just tape it right to the inside of your Bible there, and you always have your Bible with you at church in case you know you're leading a kid to the Lord or another adult, and you get nervous, because it happens to all of us. A lot of people don't have the Scripture memorized, but the truth is, if you have it right here in your Bible, you don't have to be nervous. You can open this up and lead them biblically, show them why and how they can be saved. So to be an effective soul winner, I believe you must know the Lord yourself, first of all. Now, I believe with all my heart that a lost man could lead someone to the Lord. I believe that because he could take the Bible. If he knows enough truth about the Bible, he could open up the Scripture and show the truth of the Scripture, because here's the deal. It's not about the messenger. It's all about the message. We must understand that. It's not, the power is not in us. The power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is nothing about us. But I do believe if you are saved, you'll be a much more effective soul winner yourself. Ephesians chapter 2 tonight, we're going to go to a few different verses and establish salvation, first of all, how we can know biblically, not just because someone said it, but biblically how we can know that we are saved. You know, you see a lot of people, you ask them, how do you know you're saved? I don't really know. I remember doing this in church, and I remember doing that. I remember in junior church years ago, I remember a man taught me this. I remember a preacher told me this. But really and truly, if they don't have the truth of the gospel backing up their salvation, what do they have? They don't have much hope. Some of the most miserable people I've ever met in my life are people that walk around and say, I just don't really know if I'm saved. I think I am, but I can hardly fall asleep at night because I just don't know if I am saved. Well, I'll tell you, if you're going to be an effective soul winner, you better know yourself, for you first, that you are saved. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you what, church? Through what? And that not of yourselves. So right here, we've already established two things. We are saved by what? Grace through what? And not of what? Ourselves. So, that eliminates the argument that a lot of churches have that, yes, going to church gets me saved. How many know that's a lie? Biblically, we just proved it in a half of a verse. So, will being baptized get me to heaven? Baptism has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. Baptism, we do believe it's biblical to do. We believe it's a command from God. It is the first step of obedience unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ after salvation. Jesus himself was baptized. But think about this. What about the thief on the cross? He looked at Jesus and Jesus said, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. I didn't never read where the thief came off the cross, went to the church, and got baptized. But Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So baptism is not essential for heaven. Amen? We know that. So what about tithing? If I give to the church my whole life, I'm always giving my tithe, I'm always giving to missions, can I give enough to gain salvation? The answer is no. Well, what if I teach Sunday school? What if I teach junior church? What if I'm a youth pastor? What if I'm a song leader? What if I'm just a faithful servant and I do anything and everything that the church asks me to do and that the preacher asks me to do and that the Lord asks me to do? Can any of that gain heaven? The Bible says, and that not of yourselves. There's nothing we can do to gain heaven. And here's what I like. There's nothing we can do to lose it either once we've gained it. But get this. It is the gift of God. So three things we learn in that verse. God has given us a gift. What is the gift of God? Somebody tell me. We're gonna speak up tonight. What is the gift of God? Salvation. Through who? Jesus Christ. So he willingly, just think about this. I know we say it all the time, but think about this. His only begotten Son, the one and only possible way that you and I could gain remission for our sins is for God to be so kind, so compassionate, so holy, so pure, so righteous, so loving, was to give his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for my wickedness. Now, fathom that in your mind. Do any of us deserve that? The answer is absolutely not. And if you're sitting here thinking, well, he just don't know who he died for. He don't know what he gained. Let me tell you something. He didn't gain much. Reality check, okay? The Bible says your righteousness is as filthy rags, just like my righteousness is as filthy rags. I'll never be able to earn my way to heaven, and neither will you. It must be through Jesus Christ. The next verse, not of works, we just established that, lest any man should boast. So no matter how much you boast about what you do, no matter how much you go around and tell people, you don't know, I've been a deacon in that church for 50 years. Ain't no way I'm dying and going to hell. Let me tell you something, mister, without Jesus, you're going to die and go straight to hell. And it was not created for you. We've established the fact that we cannot earn our way to heaven. Amen? It must be through who? Jesus. Look at Romans chapter number 10. So what do I say when I get saved? Well, let me tell you something. The Bible never gives you any particular words to say when you're getting saved. This is why I don't believe in teaching, especially when we sit down with a little kid or anybody. I mean, I've led many people to Christ in my lifetime, not boasting, but I'm saying the popular question I always get is, how many people have led someone to the Lord in here? Just be honest. Raise your hand. Good. What's a popular question you get when you're about to lead someone to the Lord? What do I say? How do I know? Well, what does the Bible say? Listen, what does the Bible say? Look at Romans 10, verse number 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt, what, church? With thy, what? Mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine, what? That God hath raised him from the dead. Here it is. Thou shalt be, what? So, when I'm sitting down, and here's how simple God made it. First of all, remember, Paul said, I watered, Apollos planted, I watered, but God, I think I'm misquoting that, but God giveth the increase. That's what I'm getting to here. God is the one with his Holy Spirit that can convict a sinner unto salvation. We cannot talk someone into salvation. I don't believe in prolonging an altar call or trying to sit there and convince someone, yes, I think you should tell them they're going to die and go to hell, but look, don't make them repeat after you and make them believe they're saved. That's not salvation. The Holy Ghost is the only one that can and will convict unto salvation. You say, what do you mean he will? Listen, he said he will enlighten every man. In other words, in every single one of our lives, in every single individual's lives on planet Earth, there's going to come a time where God in his Holy Spirit, his Holy Ghost, is going to convict a sinner into their need of salvation. Now, he's not going to make them accept the gift that he provided, right? He offered the gift, but you know, how foolish is it to reject a gift, such a gift as that? It'd be like me, someone coming up and saying, hey, Brother Drew, I got you a brand new 2023 Cummins, and you don't have to pay anything for it. I'm going to pay for all your fuel for the rest of your life. I'm going to pay for your insurance. If you wreck it, I'll buy you a new one. It's never going to end. Never going to end. You're never going to run out of truck, ever. And I just said, nope, I ain't interested. Now, how many of you would do that? Or if someone said, hey, just agree with me, go with me, and you'll have all the money that you'll ever need. You'll never run out. Look, I'm referencing this because you're never going to run out of salvation. That's what God said. Take Jesus and you have eternal life, right? Never going to run out. But he doesn't make us accept him. But there is going to come a time when the Holy Ghost will convict the sinner unto salvation. But here's where we mess up in the church. A lot of people believe this. Well, if it's God's job to convict, why should I have to go tell people? Well, because God told you to. We'll look at that here in a second. But it is a command that we go and preach the gospel. Look at Romans 10:10. For with the heart, man believeth unto what, church? And with the what? Confession is made unto salvation. Now, did it ever say, if you don't say it exactly like this, it isn't going to work? No. You know what God said? He said, look, all you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. How much simpler does it get? Well, here's my question. Why is it so hard for us to tell other people this truth? Why is it, even within our own walls? You know, it's easy to point the finger and say, well, he'll do it, she'll do it. They're better at me than talking to people. A lot of us just don't like talking to people. I get that. But God never gave you the excuse not to tell someone about him. What if the person that told you about Jesus just wasn't comfortable talking to somebody? And you were still walking around, a poor, lost, wretched sinner, on a way to a devil's hell that was not created for you. Imagine the opportunities that God has put before you over the last decade, over the last week. God puts them in front of us all the time. And sometimes we just say, I don't have time for that. I got this going on. I got stuff going on at home. Man, if I don't get home quick, the kids got to do this and this and this. Let me tell you something. If God convicts you into telling someone about him, trust this. He's already prepared them to hear what you need to be saying to them. He has already did his job. But he's just looking for a faithful servant. If you don't know that you are saved or basing your salvation on something contrary to what God says, church, it might be time for a reality check for yourselves and for me. We must know that we are saved and that we have eternal life. This is not a maybe-so salvation. It's a no-so salvation. And by the way, did you know that you can have eternal life? I'm talking about know it, not assume. Well, I hear people say all the time, when I die, I'm going to have eternal life. And when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm just not sure. I don't know about that. I heard people say it, but I don't know. Well, let's look at the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 5. I'm thankful that we have a no-so salvation. We don't have to have a maybe-so. We have a no-so. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11. The Bible says, and this is the what, church? Record that God hath given to us what? And this life is in what? You notice how everything reflects back to Jesus? Everything. It's all about Jesus. Verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath what? And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things, here it is, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And who is that? That's Jesus. That ye may, what's the next word? Wow. So we can know because the Bible tells us so. Now here's the question. Do you believe the Bible? Do you really believe the Bible? That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So to be an effective soul winner, I should probably know that I'm saved myself. Number two, once I've been saved, you inherited something, and it's called the Holy Ghost of God. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You didn't inherit this by accident, by the way. It wasn't like God accidentally said, whoops, I just dropped the Holy Ghost and it landed in you. Nope. You inherited it because you chose Jesus. And don't ever say it's not your job to soul win. I despise, and I don't mean I don't like them, but I despise Christians that say, well, that's just not my thing. Well, what is your thing? What is your thing? If you cannot feel comfortable talking about Jesus, what on earth do you feel comfortable talking about? We could talk about football all day. I can. Comfortably. I could talk about needs in the football program all day. Comfortably. And so can the rest of the town. I could talk about hunting till I die. And I like talking about that. I love it. I could talk about fishing. I can talk about sports. I can talk about my wife. I can talk about my, not in a bad way, my kids. I can talk about things that I really genuinely care about all the time. Can you not? But why is it so hard to bring Jesus up in a conversation. It's because we don't feel responsible. The truth is, if we were to just be honest, we walk around like we just don't care. That lady that we just walked by in Walmart has a never-dying soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And that man that we passed in the convenience store that saw us being rude to the teller because we got the wrong change has a never-dying soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. Folks, it's time that we understand that when we inherited the Holy Ghost, we inherited some responsibilities. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive," what's that next word? This is Jesus talking. "After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be," what, church? "Unto me," both in where? Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. So where in that verse does it exempt Drew? Put your name there. Where in that verse does it exempt your name? Nowhere. You have exempted yourself because as individuals, let's just be honest, we're pretty selfish people. I mean, I know me. I don't know your inner being, but I know if you're anything like me, we're selfish people. When it really boils down to it, who do we think about first? Us, right? If it's out of our comfort zone, we just, I don't think I want to do that. But God said, to be witnesses unto me into Jerusalem, that's the local town, Judea, that's out there, Samaria, even further out, and all the way to the uttermost parts of the earth. So don't ever say it's not your job to soul win. We have all been called to do this. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter number 24. Luke 24 and verse 46. The Bible says, "And said unto them, Thus it is," what, church? "And thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be," what? "Preached in his name among," what? "All nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are," what? "Witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Listen, Jesus said, "And ye are witnesses of these things." What things? The things that he just told this church that they are responsible for. We are responsible for lost souls. We are not responsible for saving them, but we are the vessels that God uses to get his word into the world. That's why we support missionaries into other countries that we cannot get to. But thank God, he's given us finances that we're able to, by grace, through faith, give. Even if you're not giving through faith, hey, stop giving. When you give, you ought to be blessed. You ought to ask the Lord to multiply that for you. Because listen, if you're not giving by faith, that you're just giving in necessity, come on now, give by faith, believing that God's going to take what you've given sacrificially, or maybe it wasn't sacrificially, but believe that God's going to multiply it, put it into the hands of a missionary who's going to go reach someone that you'll never know until the other side. Church, we are responsible. We are responsible. It is all of our jobs as believers to help fulfill the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? Look at Matthew chapter 28. It's all of our jobs. As individuals that say we're saved, you have a responsibility. Matthew 28, 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go," what's the next word? "Therefore, and do" what? "Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Here's a good promise about the commission. Not only, you know, here's the part. We don't like that he says, go, 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 go. That's not the part that we want to do, but some of us get on board and we get into the habit of soul winning and door knocking and visitation. And I'll tell you something. If you ever win one soul to Christ, it's the biggest experience. I'm talking about, I don't even know. The only thing I can compare it to is getting married and watching a child be born. I don't know a greater joy than watching a sinner repent and move from death to life. And if you ever experience that as an individual, getting to sit down with someone and watch them break, watch the Holy Ghost break them and use you to assist them, open the Bible and teach them, hey, this is why you're saved. This is how you know that you can't lose what the Lord has given you. This is how you know that you can have eternal life. And you watch their tears start rolling down their eyes and you watch them break and you see that their need for a Savior is about to become really real and you watch that sinner become a new creature created in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, you witness that? You'll want to do it some more. I promise. It's addicting. I remember the very first person I led to Christ. It was three brothers. We had five brothers that rode our bus in Seward, and I was teaching just a junior class on Sunday mornings. And I remember that Sunday morning, the oldest brother, brother number two, and brother number four all raised their hand for salvation. And I got to sit those boys down one at a time that Sunday. I mean, I was late for in the church service that day because I sat those boys down. And look, this is why I think it's important for some one-on-one individual. When you're leading someone to the Lord, like, let's just say it, like, you know, this morning we got into a study and a little guy walked in and screamed for his daddy. You know what that is? It's the devil trying to distract your minds. And I'll be honest, it worked. For me, it worked. I lost my train of thought. I was like, hey, get that kid out of here. that's my little cousin. I can say that. I hope my aunt's listening. But hey, listen. That's why it's important to me as an individual. When I was 7 years old, the Lord convicted me and showed me my need for salvation. And what that means is from age 7 to 9 and a half, when I finally accepted the Lord, I would have died and went to hell. And I knew it. And so a lot of people traditionally, you know, I was always told, hey, you got to go before the church. You got to go up there and you got to let the preacher do this and this and this. And that's okay. That's okay. But how many of you like being in front of people? Let's just be honest. Most of us would say, no, I don't. And even when we are, and again, as the pastor, I'm not opposed to praying with people. I'm not opposed to meeting with people up here. But when you can get them away from all the distractions, away from the music, away from people staring at them, and you can open up the Bible and sit down and show them that, hey, you're willing to take time to really show them their need for a Savior, I think the one-on-one is such a benefit because it shows them, hey, you really do care. And you're really taking the time to actually not just come up here and tell me something and what I need to say, preacher. Well, pray this prayer. No, no, no. Listen, I would hate to base my salvation on just a prayer. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that prayer saves you. The Bible says by faith, right? We're saved by faith. So that's why I handed you guys these cards tonight. And anytime you have an opportunity, stick these things in your Bible. It's a simple cheat sheet. 5 or 6 verses, you'll never have to worry about it again. And I have one in my Bible. And because there's sometimes, you know, sometimes you get excited, you get sidetracked, and all of a sudden, you're boom, you need to lead someone to the Lord. And you're like, oh, okay, think. I have a bunch of scriptures right here memorized. But, you know, your memory goes who knows where when it's time to actually use what you've been given, right? So look, this is a good cheat sheet. The Bible way to heaven. What a thing. And I think it will be good for us as a church. I'm telling you, again, when you lead your first person to Christ, you'll be addicted. There's nothing else quite like it. In striving to fulfill the Great Commission, first, that is a command from God to observe and teach what we have been given. We should never not be ready to lead someone to Christ. Look at 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. A lot of scripture tonight, but I wanted to take you on a biblical journey why I think it's important for each and every one of us to know that we can do this. And you can. And the good news is, he said, for lo, I am with you always. Jesus is with you every step of the way. You're not going in there alone with that person. You're going in there with the power of the Holy Ghost of God that's living within you. And hey, we're charging hell with a squirt gun and we're getting ready to curb stomp the devil. Boom! I hate the devil. Anybody in here hate the devil? Amen. I hate the devil. And I love it when people get saved. Because you know what? It's like the dude hitting a home run and the whole stadium goes crazy. Can you imagine what heaven looks like when a sinner repents? Oh my goodness. I can't wait to be part of that someday. It'll be the best explosion in the whole wide world. 2 Timothy 2:2. We should always be ready. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Now, here we go. How many of you heard about Jesus from someone else? Raise your hands. You heard about it in Sunday school. You heard about it in church. Maybe your mom, grandma, grandpa, dad. Who knows? But you heard about Jesus from somewhere. More than likely, you didn't just randomly hear about him. The Lord used someone to tell you. Okay, so the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, here it is. The same commit thou to what? Who shall be able to teach others also. So, if we're saved, and someone told us about the Lord, which everybody in here just agreed, someone told you about the Lord, someone led you to the Lord, someone, Lord willing, opened the Bible and showed you how you can know that you have eternal life. So are we biblically responsible to do that for others? Yes, we are. We absolutely are. We must do our part to take what we've been given and pass it on to someone else. There should never be an excuse or time that you're not ready to give an answer to anyone. You should know and always be prepared to lead someone to the Lord. Look at 1 Peter 3:15. This is a scary verse. 1 Peter 3:15. There should never, ever be a time or an excuse when you say, I just can't do it right now. I'm not ready. I'm not prepared. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your what, church? And be ready when? Always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So when someone comes to me and says, Brother Drew, what is it that you have that I don't? Hey, you know what? I try to hold my smile back, but I'm like, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Because that's what I have that you don't have. That's where my joy comes from. That's where my strength comes from. That's where my liveliness comes from. That's where I get all the joy in my life comes from the Lord. I know that if I die tonight, I'm not going to wake up in a place called hell. I know the Bible teaches me that I'm going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I don't have to worry about that. Let me tell you how you can know that. Let me tell you how you can lay your head down tonight and not worry about waking up in a devil's hell that was not created for you. Church, that is what this thing is all about. It's all about the Lord. So we should always be ready to give an answer. We must know that salvation is for everyone. That's number three. We must know that salvation is for everyone. Let's make this quicker. Who wants to read a verse if I give you a scripture to look up? Who will read a verse out loud? Raise your hand. Crystal? Okay, Crystal, can you look up Romans 10:13? Brother Andy? John 3:16 and 17. Kason, look up 1 Timothy 1:15. Anyone over here? Brother Scott, Acts 2:38-39. And Brother Tim, Titus 2:11-15. We're going over here. We must know that salvation is for who, church? Everyone. Okay, Romans 10:13. Read it loud, please. Whosoever. Aren't you glad that you serve a whosoever God? You know, this puts Calvinism to rest real quick. That's a bunch of hogwash. It's lies. There's no chosen few. Hey, we're all chosen. He chose us all because the Bible says, for all have sinned. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. Look, it's a whosoever salvation. Brother Andy, John 3:16-17. Hey, aren't you glad that whosoever believeth in him is salvation for everyone? It is. We're going to keep proving it. Acts 2:38-39, Brother Scott. Then Peter said unto him, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are all, even as many Isn't that, it's to you, to your children, and to, what's that next word? All. So salvation is for who, church? Everyone. 1 Timothy 1:15. Kaysen, you got it? All right, go ahead, Kyler. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, plural, of whom I am chief. Hey, so who's salvation for? Everyone. Titus 2:11-15. Two more verses, 14 and 15. Amen. Wow, so Jesus in verse 14, he gave himself for, the Bible says, us. I think that would include everyone in here, right? So does that mean anyone out there is excluded? So who's responsible for them? We are. We are, church. So what do I tell them? Well, you should start by telling them what Jesus did for you. I wonder, we're not going to do it tonight, but I would like to do this in the near future. If we paired up with somebody that you know, would you be comfortable telling them your salvation story? How many would be comfortable doing that? We'll come back to church next Sunday night. And we'll try to have a little bit of fun. You know, pair up with somebody, not your wife, not your husband, but somebody that, you know, you're comfortable talking to. Because here's the deal. Out there, you ain't going to be comfortable talking to none of them. Let's just be honest. You ain't going to know them from Adam. But man, when the Lord says, hey, you need to go talk to that one about me. And you're like, well, what do I say? I don't even know his name. Well, ask him his name. Find some common ground. Don't go up and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins. They gone. Okay, find some common ground, okay? Talk about deer hunting, talk about fishing, talk about shopping, ladies, for crying out loud. Find some common ground to talk about, and then introduce Jesus to them, casually. But don't hesitate to do it. If you have problems with this, you need to make sure yourself that you've been saved. So am I saved? That's a question tonight. What's my testimony? If I'm saved, I receive the Holy Ghost that leads me and guides me into all truth. Christ loves sinners and uses us as vessels to spread the gospel. And I understand that salvation is for everyone, and it is my job to tell the world. So I think that we just took a good biblical journey tonight, and now we can understand, am I saved? And if I am saved, I have the Holy Ghost that's going to convict me to go tell someone else about Jesus. And you can never tell the wrong one about the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you.